Let's open with hymn 1. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And thou forgivest the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word,
announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
If thou, Lord, shouldst mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared, O God of Israel. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray.
O Almighty, eternal God, we confess that we are poor sinners and cannot answer one of a thousand when thou contendest with us. But with all our hearts we thank thee that thou hast taken all our guilt from us and laid it upon thy dear Son, Jesus Christ, and made him to atone for it. We pray thee graciously to sustain us in faith, and so to govern us by thy Holy Spirit, that we may live according to thy will in neighborly love, service, and helpfulness, and not give way to wrath or revenge, that we may not incur thy wrath, but always find in thee a gracious Father, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, one true God, world without end. The Old Testament lesson for this 22nd Sunday after Trinity is found in the 24th chapter of Proverbs, the 14th through the 20th verse. So shall the knowledge of wisdom be to your soul. If you have found it, there is a prospect, and your hope will not be cut off. Do not lie in wait, O wicked man, against the dwelling of the righteous. Do not plunder his resting place. For a righteous man may fall seven times and rise again. But the wicked shall fall by calamity. Do not rejoice when your enemy falls, and do not let your heart be glad when he stumbles. Lest the Lord see it, and it displease him, and he turn away his wrath from him. Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the wicked. For there will be no prospect for the evil man. The lamp of the wicked will be put out. Here ends the Old Testament lesson. The epistle is found in the first chapter of Philippians, the 3rd through the 11th verse. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you always in every prayer of mine, making request for you all with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ, just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are all partakers with me of grace. For God is my witness how greatly I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, and that you may be sincere and without offense until the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Here ends the epistle lesson. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. The Lord commanded blessing, even life forevermore. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The Lord healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. Hallelujah. Gospel for this day is found in the 18th chapter of Matthew, the 23rd through the 35th verse. Therefore the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had began to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave the debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. Here ends the gospel. We now confess the Christian faith with the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost,
the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
We sing hymn 342.
Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied unto you in God our Father and in our Lord Jesus Christ. Our text is found in the 18th chapter of Matthew, the 21st through the 35th verse. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold, and that his wife and children and all that he had, and payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave the debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you?" And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you, from his heart, does not forgive his brother his trespasses. Here ends our text. You may be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, the Christian faith is not a religion of scales and measures and balances, but a religion of perfect grace, offered without cost to all men, no matter how greatly they have erred, no matter how horribly they have sinned, no matter how long we are instructed by the Word of God, however. Our flesh continues to tempt us to compare sin and forgiveness with scales and weights and measures. This chapter of Matthew, chapter 18, is the great chapter where Jesus teaches us how to forgive one another and about the forgiveness of God. In the previous portion of this chapter, we have the three steps of admonition which we are all taught in confirmation class, how we are to deal with one another when a brother sins against us. Here also we are taught how it is that God forgives sins on earth. Namely, that whoever repents and seeks the forgiveness of sins is to be forgiven without question in the name of Jesus. For where two or three are gathered together in his name, he is there in their midst. You have gained your brother, Jesus says, when he hears you and repents. So certain and effective is this forgiveness that Jesus promises that whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. It is done before the Father just as if Jesus himself stood there and pronounced the forgiveness of sins in person. There is no instructions given here about how severe the sin is, about how much a person is to show remorse, about how he is to do good works which demonstrate his return to the Christian faith. No, there are no scales. There's no weights or measures. He is simply to be forgiven. And know that God himself has forgiven him in heaven. This is how we are to operate as the church on earth, because we do nothing else than give to men the forgiveness of sins which Jesus himself has already given them by his suffering and death upon the cross. How wonderful that God forgives sin on earth and gives us such assurance. And yet immediately after teaching the disciples these things, Peter asks Jesus a question which shows just how deeply ingrained in our flesh this idea of scales and measures is. Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Until seven times? Now, note that question. Peter presumes from the start that it is right and proper to keep track of how many times our brother sins against us. And somehow, even though we forgave him seven times, yet there's still some accounting to be made. In other words, that forgiveness isn't really complete in Peter's mind if we're still keeping track. He still holds something back. He keeps score, even though he claims to forgive his brother. But how does God forgive? Speaking through the prophet Jeremiah, the Lord describes how he forgives when he said, "For I will forgive their iniquity and I will remember their sin no more." Therefore, Jesus answers Peter, "I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven." And Jesus did not give that number so that people would start counting to 490, but to shock Peter with a number so big that he would rethink the question entirely and learn to stop counting at all. No counting could ever match the forgiveness which Jesus has won for us upon the cross. We could forgive our brother every minute of every day, and still not exhaust the forgiveness of sins which Jesus has accomplished for us. But still there are those scales in our head, whereby we hold on to every offense which our brother commits, never letting it go, even when we claim to forgive him. Our old man of sin, you see, likes company. He wants to wallow in sin, both our own sins and the sins of others. He's never satisfied, for like Satan, he delights in accusing men of sin. Therefore, Jesus tells a parable to further illustrate how we should forgive, and indeed how we also are forgiven before God in heaven. Here is how it is in the kingdom of heaven. It is as if we stand before a king, owing him a sum of money so great that we could not pay it in 100 lifetimes. The king demands payment. He has the right to demand it because we owe the debt. He can justly confiscate all that we have and throw us into prison, where, of course, we would have even less opportunity to labor and to pay the debt. But that doesn't matter anyway, because there's no way we can pay this debt. We have no recourse. We have no way out. We cannot run, for he is the king, and we are already standing in his court, surrounded by his soldiers. Our situation is hopeless. There's only one thing left for us to do: to fall down on our knees and beg for mercy. This is the way of things with us. Our first mistake is always to make our sins seem small, or to ignore them, or pretend they do not matter to God. But the day of accounting finally comes. The king calls us to account, and the time comes when we can no longer put it off. The day is coming indeed for each of us. If you would hear the word of God, that day is before you even now. For all the world is under the kingdom of God, and he calls all men everywhere to account of their sins, to pay the debt which they owe him. And would that every man would heed this call to the accounting today, to stand before the king and to face the great debt that they owe, so that they too might beg for mercy now while there is still time. Because if they disregard this call to the accounting, the time will come, and it will come quickly, when they will have no choice but to meet the Lord face to face. And then they will no longer be able to trivialize their sins like they did in life, because they will be dragged kicking and screaming to the courts of the Lord and will be forced to face their evil. And indeed, their evil will come back, and the sum of their deeds and the debts that they've accumulated will be staggering. And it will do no good then to beg for mercy. For on that day, the time of mercy will have come to an end. But not so in our parable. For when the servant with the staggering debt falls down before the king and begs for mercy, the king has compassion on him. And he releases him and he forgives the debt. Now look at what the servant actually asked for. The servant asked more time to pay the debt. But because he turned to the king at all and asked for mercy, the king had compassion on him and forgave the entire debt. In other words, the king did what the servant had no right to expect. And indeed, such an expectation would be foolish by human standards. So also, we have no reason to expect that our Father in heaven will do such a thing as forgive our sins. By ourselves, all we can hope for is more time to pay. And yet our Lord has looked upon our pitiful condition and has seen that despite our hopelessly optimistic appeal for more time to do the impossible, we are forever unable to pay for our sins. And so he does the unthinkable. He forgives the entire debt, an unimaginable thing when one considers how great sins truly are. And he announces to the poor servant this forgiveness, and the servant gratefully believes him. This man's life was just returned to him. His possessions and his family were preserved, and now he was free through no work of his own. With such an extravagant gift of grace, you would imagine that the idea of scales and measures of forgiveness would be wiped from the servant's mind. After all, if such a great debt was forgiven him, is it worth counting the sins of a brother any longer? But no. The old man being what it is, the servant went out and found a fellow servant who owed him an insignificant amount of money, approximately maybe 3 months' wages, but quite payable. But he demanded right then and there payment of everything. And when his fellow servant begged for mercy, the servant showed him none. He cast him into prison until the debt was paid. Now in the kingdoms of men, you would expect that despite how wicked the servant was, the king could not go back and hold the servant accountable for the debt that had already been forgiven. But the kingdom of God is not like the kingdom of men, because in God's kingdom we are justified by faith. We receive the forgiveness of sins and the righteousness of Jesus when we believe the Lord's free gift of salvation. But when we throw away that gift, when we cease to believe in that mercy, the righteousness and forgiveness of Jesus is forfeit. Because nobody enters the kingdom of heaven by contract, but by faith. So it is that the king in the parable throws the wicked servant to the torturers until he has paid the last penny. And Jesus makes plain that this is exactly what the Father in heaven will do to each of you if you from his heart does not forgive his brother, forgive your brother his trespasses against you. But why is it that you would lose the forgiveness of God if you refuse to forgive others? Well, consider what this means. God has forgiven you a debt so enormous that you cannot comprehend what he lost to forgive it. The measure of his loss is found upon the cross where his only begotten Son was crucified, paying in full the cost of your sins, a cost that you owed. And now he has applied that cost to you because you asked for mercy. But now a brother who has sinned against, but now comes a brother who sins against you. Compared to the greatness of your sin against God, his offense against you is a mere trifle. To refuse to forgive your brother would be to count his offense against you as far greater than your offense against God. It would be to count his sin against him when God has not counted your sin against you. In short, it is to deny your brother the very mercy that God has freely given you. And it shows that such a faith of yours that is a false faith because you do not value God's mercy at all. Our Father in heaven no longer counts our great sin against us. He has thrown out the scales and measures because of the death of Jesus Christ, because he has completely covered all of our sins. His payment far outweighs our guilt and the guilt of every man. It is we and not God who insist on measuring and weighing every offense, both our brother's offenses and our own. Therefore, let us learn well to simply trust in the mercy of our Lord and King Jesus Christ, and know that even as he no longer counts our sin against us, so also we should not count our brother's sin against him, but forgive him freely and as often as he repents, even as God freely forgives us. God grant, therefore, that we might dwell in his mercy all the days of our life. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
Take not thy Holy Spirit from us.
Let us pray. O God, who in wisdom didst make the world and establish the heavens, we thank thee that in love thou didst fearfully and wonderfully make us in thine image, granting unto us the gift of intelligence, a house for thy spirit in the temple of our bodies, and a moral conscience which perceives good and evil. Especially do we thank thee for faith in thy Son, Jesus Christ, in whom thou hast revealed thy love for lost mankind, who brought salvation into the world by laying down his life. Pour out thy Spirit upon us that we might richly grow in divine knowledge and judgment, that all our works might be fit for thy praise. Grant by thy Spirit that we may be kindly disposed toward one another in brotherly love, forgiving one another even as thou hast for Christ's sake forgiven us. Preserve and rule thy church in the fellowship of the gospel, that she may be steadfast in the faith entrusted to her. Defend her against all her enemies, that she may serve thee without fear. And as we have freely received from thee, move us to give freely, liberally, and gladly for thee, in the support of all who labor in thy vineyard, in our own and in distant lands. Especially do we lift up to thee thy servants who are persecuted for thy name's sake. Overshadow them with thy power, and fill them with thy Spirit, that they, showing thy glory in their faithfulness and love, may turn the hearts of their oppressors. Grant health and wisdom to all in our own land who bear authority, that they may serve according to thy will, and that we may prosper in concord and righteousness. Defeat the devices of the wicked, and uphold and further all that is good, that we may be saved from thy wrath and be defended by thy mercy. Implant thy word in the hearts of our children, that they may be reared to lives of usefulness to thy church and to their country. Give to all parents thy blessing, and grant them understanding and patience. Watch over the sick, the sorrowing, and the anxious. Be their companion in suffering and their help in tribulation. Preserve those who are in any mortal peril of body or soul, and save them by thy gracious providence. And although on account of our sins we have merited thy fatherly correction, help us to receive thy visitation in humility and repentance, and turn to thee for pardon and peace. These and all other things of which we have need, we beseech thee to bestow upon us, for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
We sing hymn 369. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, Everlasting God. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom and the power.
Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me."
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Christ, given unto death for all your sins.
May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting.
Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins.
Take and drink.
This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins.
May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace.
Body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins.
May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting.
Blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ,
shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ,
shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins.
May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace.
We sing the Nunc Dimittis.
Lord, now dost thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For my eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared me for. Oh,
give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endureth forever.
We give thanks to thee, Almighty God, that thou hast refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we beseech thee that of thy mercy thou wouldst strengthen us through the same in faith towards thee and in fervent love toward one another, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
Amen.
We sing hymn 45. Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.
Amen. Amen.